You got your frozen snot wish, huh?
It's called manifesting. Look it up.
Mm-hmm. When is it? Tomorrow night at 9?
Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., registration opens for the Frozen Snot, which is one of the races that I most look forward to every year, and it sells out very quickly.
Here's my problem. It's past my bedtime. Not joking.
Yeah. You can have somebody sign up for you.
Aw, are you offering?
I would do that for you.
I might actually have you do that. I don't know. I'll think about it. Because I kind of do. I like that race too. I got to stay up. I could probably stay up till 9 o'clock and do it. But
so fun.
How's the grace?
I'm good. I just went for a run and it was a little rain drizzling.
Fall-like? Was it fall-like?
It was fall-like. I got my long sleeve tech shirt on. I mean, it was that perfect weather where you got the long sleeve tech shirt, but you still get to wear the shorty shorts, you know? Mm. And I had some tunes playing and a little Phil Collins. It was good.
Yeah, I like this weather where it feels like you need to wear a long sleeve shirt, but then you start running and realize you're an idiot that it's too warm for a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, it's like you gotta just trust it and go with the tank top and the gloves. Tank top, gloves,
yeah,
shorty shorts.
Right. Oh, Grace. All right, listen, I got a joke for you.
I'm ready.
How did the lawyer with a torn ACL still manage to win the race?
I don't know.
Because he had power of a tourney.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something. Grace, why did the vegetarian stop running cross country?
I don't know.
Because they didn't like the meats.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's hilarious. Come on, give me more than that.
I gotta
come up with different intro stuff because I'm spending too much time surfing Google for what I'm supposed to come
at. I know the secret. I know the secret. You want to hear it?
I don't know what the secret of is, but yeah, sure.
So you know how people are just talking about AI and Ben Mazur will use AI for crazy photos and stuff like that. No. You gotta use ChatGPT. Use ChatGPT. You ask it questions. You can ask it, hey, give me a list of 10 good jokes for the podcast tonight, and it will answer you. It'll give you jokes.
So is ChatGPT like an app, or is that like a website I go to?
It's a website you go to.
So I type in ChatGPT. What is it?
ChatGPT.
Into Google, and it'll take me there?
It will.
All right, I'm going to try that next week. I'm going to blow your mind next week.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
All right, cool. We should probably start this show.
Okie doke.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Grace, tonight we talk with a few amazing humans, which isn't something new. Let's figure out why they're here on episode 82. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. You have a good weekend, Grace?
I had a great weekend. How was yours?
Pretty good. Yeah. Did you go help at Iron Masters yesterday?
No, I was timing for a local 5K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Well, I had a good weekend. Lauren ran a really good race on Saturday down in Hershey.
Yes, she did.
On Earth. So that was exciting. Well worth the drive down there. The rest of the weekend was pretty chill, I think.
Wow. And that was Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
It was hot.
No, I mean, the time it was cloud, it was overcast, and maybe a little humidish because it was like moist and damp out. But no, it was favorable.
Yeah,
for sure. But be, at least when she ran at like 9:45.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's, no, I think it probably got hot in the afternoon, but
yeah,
it was good.
It did. I think that's probably going to be our last hot weekend. You know.
Are you a weatherman now? I didn't know.
I'm a meteorologist. I got a certificate last week.
Wow! If you could go ahead and show us all that certificate, it'd be great.
I'll work on that.
No, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Today it's funny because it's fall now. I don't know if you realize that summer's done. Fall's here.
But fall today, is here.
Today up here in Tioga County, and I'm guessing you too, it was fall like for show.
It was lovely. It was overcast. It was rainy down here. It was all the fall feel goods. I love it. Manifesting.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, it was like 55 up here. Really nice. Really nice. Leaves are falling like crazy up here. Anyway, tonight's show, let's get going on it. We had a scheduled guest. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to talk to him, but we're going to have somebody on real quick who just finished her first 100-mile race at Grindstone 100. And ironically, our guest Neil, he also ran that race in the past, so it's good. Yeah. We kind of mesh a little bit.
Oh, that's great.
So you want to bring them both on at the same time? That way he can join us and Why don't you go ahead and intro Neil for a second?
Yeah, let's totally bring on everybody. It was a big, big weekend. We had lots of races happening. There was Iron Masters and Grindstone and Trails for Tales. And I'm missing another one.
Boulder Beast
was over the weekend. And so we've got Emily on, who ran Grindstone, and Neil on, who's the race director for Trails for Tales, who also ran Grindstone back in 2018, and he ran Emily ran Grindstone because she didn't get a chance to run Eastern States. Neil has run Eastern States and Western States. We get to talk about all the things.
Yeah, so real quick to bring Emily on. Emily was a Triple Crown entrant, and she did Heiner and World's End, and then was one of the poor souls that was there at the start line when Eastern States got canceled this year. So she real quick reshuffled her cards and found Grindstone, which isn't too far south of her. She's from Philly, signed up for that and just completed it. And what was your official time, Emily?
28 hours and 38 minutes.
Woo! Nice.
Not too bad. And then let's face it. I mean, Grindstone has what, 20,000 feet of gain?
2021. So it's about similar to Eastern, honestly, I think.
Yeah. So the reason I wanted to have you on was, well, for the biggest thing is congrats on your first 100-mile finish. And I think you're pretty happy with it. When somebody finishes the first 100 and they're happy with how they did, it's real exciting to hear what's going on in their head and what they think's next, because I don't know. For me, I was like, oh, I'm going to do all the things now because I can do the impossible.
Although I will say, I don't know that I've ever seen you not happy running, Emily. Like whenever I see you, you're always happy if you're on 2 feet and you're moving. Where do we want to start, Eric?
I mean, just tell us about it. How you feeling now?
Sore. Everything's pretty swollen and bruised up right now. Really enjoying the not moving, trying to move too much now that I'm home from work, but pretty good. Really happy with how I ran the race, given it was my first 100. You know, there's things that I think that now knowing what I know about myself running those races, I would change, but I don't think there are any decisions that I made during the race that I wouldn't have made again. No, you know, being where I was at the time.
Yeah.
That's what I could ask for.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about Grindstone. Grindstone, I believe, is in Virginia, and I think it's an out and back, right?
It's kind of like several loops, like two or three loops, sort of. You go out, and then you kind of do a loop, do another loop. So it's not quite an out and back. There's, you know, some out and back-ish. You run the last at least like 5 or 6 miles are the same. Maybe more than that. I stopped paying attention at some point in time. But it's a lot different than Eastern states. I would say it's a lot, it's the same elevation, but it's a lot less technical. So a lot of the descents and the climbs were a lot more smoother. You weren't worried as much about, you know, slipping on the trail and breaking your ankle at every other step and falling into stinging nettle like you are kind of at the Eastern course.
Okay.
And one of the I think more unique things, the differences between Eastern and Grindstone is Grindstone does have a 6 p.m. start time, which I don't know.
Yes,
I mean, a lot of people, that's a that takes some thinking into how you're going to handle that, I think.
Yeah, it definitely was a little bit of a pivot for me. I had to kind of, I had this, you know, plan for Eastern states of get a good night's rest. What I'm going to eat the night before, the day before, what I'm going to eat the morning of. And I had to kind of try and figure out, okay, what of that can I still keep? What's going to work best for my stomach? How am I going to get the most calories I can get in that day and the most rest I can get in that day while still being ready to run when the start line hits? And that took a little bit of, you know, just kind of doing the best that I could. My original plan I didn't end up sticking to. I was going to have some pierogies before the race, but I ended up being like, that's just, my stomach doesn't want that right now. So I pivoted a little bit, but
How did you have to pivot in your training? Because you were peak, you were ready to go come time for Eastern states. And then you had to, it's hard when you've already peaked and then you have to kind of go back into training. So what did you do?
I kind of just put my head down and realized that I was going to have to get a couple big mile weeks in. One thing that I realized about Grindstone versus Eastern states from talking to people was that it was going to be more runnable. There was going to be a lot more runnable terrain than I had initially like trained for. So I actually focused not as much on climbing anymore because I felt like my climbing legs were there. I'd done so much vert in the lead up to Eastern states. I focused a little bit more on finding more runnable, doing more running in my long run. So finding more runnable rolling terrain so that I could get those, you know, extra miles just running them. And I think that ended up helping a lot at the end of the day because it really was more runnable than the 80 miles of the Eastern States course I saw in training.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Tell us about what was your favorite part of the course?
Oh, boy. I think there was a first climb that on paper looked really gnarly. It was about 3,000 feet, but it ended up being a very runnable, very like not very steep incline at all. And just realizing going up that and going, wow, I think, you know, these first climbs aren't killing me. You know, maybe I do have this in the bag. And then I mile, I think 60, 65, I was feeling really good. I knew that wasn't going to last forever, but I was feeling good enough and had enough of pace that I realized, you know, there's no excuse for me not to finish at this point. Unless the course gets really gnarly at some point, there's no way that I'm not going to be able to hobble my way to the finish. And that just like, I almost cried at that point because I realized it's early on still, but I was like, I can finish this thing. I can do this. That was a good feeling.
Absolutely.
So did you, with the 6 p.m. start, you and I talked about this a little bit, but like the first night there, when you're still pretty fresh, did you have any problem staying awake or anything, or was that pretty easy?
It was pretty easy. I hit like the 2, 3 a.m. exhaustion, but I had been warned about that by everybody, even for Eastern. So I just accepted that that was happening. Didn't try to have too much caffeine, just tried to run through it. I was running with a group of guys, so we were kind of pacing each other all night for probably the first 60, 65 miles, actually. So it wasn't lonely. I think it would have been a very different story if I'd been running alone at that point. But having people there and just chatting when we started getting tired really helped keep me awake and keep me focused on the race that I was running.
Nice. And you ended up 6 female overall?
Yeah, 6 female overall.
That's awesome.
Nicely done. Did you get a beer afterwards?
I did. I did. Somebody brought me a beer afterwards. that was kind of, you know me, that was my first question. Like, where is my beer, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. These are important things to figure out.
Yeah. My crew had me. My crew had me.
Nice. Now, did you have, so you had crew, did you have pacers?
I had one pacer. Yeah. A friend of mine that I met at Eastern State Weekend was able to pace me the last 35 miles of the course.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I got really lucky. She's an amazing runner and very kick-ass woman. So I was really lucky to have her for that long.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. Now, Neil, you have also run Grindstone. So what questions do you have rolling around in your head?
Well, it's really interesting, Emily, because I ran it in 2018. And the reason that I ran it in 2018 is because my Triple Crown got bumped because that was the year it was canceled. So that's pretty interesting. And when I ran it, it was an out and back race. It looks like they changed the course a little bit based on what I saw with some maps. But yeah, it's a great course. The climbs are definitely longer down there for sure compared to Eastern. I feel like you climb for a few hours at a time, maybe not that long, but at least an hour sometimes. I'm not as fast as Emily either, so I'm more of the back. So, but yeah, so it's a great race for sure though.
Oh my gosh. So, Emily, what did you use for fueling? Not the pierogies, but what did you use for fueling?
That's actually where everything went off the rails, to be honest. Fueling did not go great. My initial plan had been to kind of alternate between Honey Stinger, Sis, Scratch, and some Spring. And by probably mile 70, the only thing I could stomach was the Sis because everything else just was too sweet for me.
Okay.
I'm not able to eat solids. That's just something I know in races. I can't really, I try all the time. I train with them, but race day comes and it's just, my stomach says no. So I wasn't anticipating being able to eat solids and I didn't, but I definitely wasn't able to eat as often as I really had wanted to. It was something that I had to kind of just, my pacer was really making me, she was like, even if you can only eat half a gel, just every 40 minutes, just try to eat just something, just get any calories in at all. Mm-hmm. So that ended up being just my strategy for the rest of the race was just, anything is better than nothing was kind of my motto at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good motto. That's the one that I haven't tried yet. I bought some recently is the Sis Fuel. So I've been curious what the, how it might work out. I love trying new fuels.
Yeah, it's not as sweet. It doesn't have as many. It's only like 90 calories or normal one. So it's not as high calorie as you'd like, but it's a lot less sweet and a little bit, this texture is a little gentler than some of the other things. So that it worked okay for me. That it wasn't ideal, but it did work. That one did work.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot of people talking about Sis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. It always gets me curious.
Yeah. I haven't tried it, but it's definitely noticeable lately. It's the newest thing that people are digging.
It is. It's the trendy ones. We got to try it out.
I've been using it for years, actually. This is not my first time training with it, but it recently became a little cheaper and easier to get, I think.
Ah, maybe. Yeah, I saw it on the feed.
Yep, yeah.
The feed. So before we move over to talking to Neil, so the Eastern States registration, early registration just opened for those that were... that couldn't race this year. What did you do with that?
I signed up for it on Wednesday.
Nice.
Within minutes of getting the email to sign up for it early, I signed up for it.
Cool. So you're going to give it another try next year, barring any unforeseen disasters, right?
Yeah. This wasn't enough to make me swear off the 100-mile distance for good. So yeah, let's just see what it's like tackling Eastern with 100 miles on my legs already.
Awesome.
Will you be pursuing the Triple Crown again or just Eastern?
Nope. I will be doing the entire Triple Crown blacklist again.
Nice.
Awesome.
Just why not?
Why not? Yes, why not?
What else do you have on your list next, Emily?
Actually, I'm probably going to sign up for Frozen Snot. Yeah. I've never done it before, and it seems like a fun race. So
you'll love it.
Yep, I'm going to do that, and then probably I'm not going to really do anything until Heiner. I think I'm going to skip a March race, just maybe find a race to pace or crew people at, but
fun.
Take some time to recover and just not race until the Triple Crown starts.
Nice. That's the way to do it. Maybe a little pacing, a little crewing, maybe sweep a race or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, can't wait to see you at Frozen Sun, if not sooner.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for talking to us about that, Emily, and congratulations on your first 100. It's huge.
Thank you, guys. It was a good race.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to hang out and ask questions to Neil. Hopefully he has some answers for us or stuff. But
Neil's got a couple of hundreds.
How many hundreds are under your belt, Neil?
I think six.
Nice.
Six.
And you did finish the Triple Crown last year? Was it last year?
I did. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Triple Crown and Blacklist, or just the Triple Crown?
So I really wanted to do Blacklist, but I was committed to Trails for Tales last year, and it fell on that day. So I had to miss it.
Nice.
Dang it.
Good transition into Trails for Tales. Yeah. So that was this past weekend, correct?
It was. Yep.
Tell us a little about it.
So it's a 40, you have three distances. There's a 40-mile distance. There's a 40-mile relay. And this year we added a 25K. It's in York County, PA at Kenora State Park. And it's a looped course. It's roughly 5.75 to 6 miles. It changes a little bit each year depending on the level of the lake. Some of the course segments have a shoreline that we'll run on. This year, the lake was pretty high, so we had to modify it a little bit. So this year, we were at a 5.82 mile loop. So it's the races. It was founded by a gentleman named Kev and his wife Faye Hahn. They're Hanover folks. And it started for his 50th birthday. They decided to hold a 50 miler at the park, and they had a course mapped out where they did, you know, loops to get to 50 miles. The race has been around for 17 years now, and it supports all the proceeds from the race support animal rescue. It's located in New Freedom, and that's a no-kill animal shelter, so it really supports a good cause. Yeah, so that's kind of like just a high-level overview. If you have any other like details you want to know about, just let me know.
Yes, we got to hear all of the details. So you took over this race 3 years? Was this your third year?
This is my second year. Yep, second year directing it. Yep.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that does draw some people into it, you can run with your dog, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, this year we had at least 25 dogs show up it's almost like the looped course is, you know, it's conducive to like having like a nice setup at a headquartered location. So a lot of folks typically come out, set up their easy ups, and they spend the entire day there. The relay teams exchange out like if they're like little aid stations. And like families come out, they bring their animals. It's honestly a really good time. I think we had about 25 like dogs, like just around this year. And there were probably at least 10 dogs that ran some sections of the course. We didn't have a 40-mile finisher dog this year. We did last year, but there were definitely dogs on the course. We actually had the North American Caney Cross team, group from the York County area, or I guess the Mid-Atlantic area, was there representing their squad. They ran the relay. So that was pretty neat to have an actual like legit Caney Cross team there. So it definitely gets the dogs out on the course, which is great.
Yeah. It's not a lot of ultras where you can run with your dog. So that's pretty cool. And if you are running with your dog, like, it's kind of nice that you can, you know, if you come back to home base so often.
Yep.
Just in case you need to get care for your dog and everything. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome.
And we were talking before about doing a can across the vision.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's still on your radar. Are you hoping to do that in the future?
Yeah, I would love to do something like that. I'd really like to probably partner up with somebody that's in that space to help, you know, learn a little bit more about it and figure out how we could maybe incorporate that into the race. But I think I think that would add even more value to the race. I think it would be a great thing to do for sure. So if anybody out there is listening and they have any experience with that format, I'm all ears to hear how we could do something with it.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty sweet. I'm really curious about it. Now that I know a couple people who do it, now I'm even more interested in it. So I'm happy to elect other people to have to have that in their race. Notice I'm not volunteering for any of my races to do that. You can go ahead and you can take care of the insurance for that. So
yeah, right.
So what's the it should be, since it's going around the lake, it can't be much elevation gain, or is there?
Each loop was about 500 feet. So there's some sneaky elevation in there, just some small punchy climbs. It was interesting. Last year we had a runner, the first place male last year came in, and he was from Colorado, and he was like, I'm used to these climbs that just go on forever. You're climbing for 3 hours and then you run downhill for 3 hours. He's like, this course just destroyed me. It was like death by a thousand cuts. He's like, I haven't been this sore in a long time. So it does gets you pretty good. And it does, it's seemingly innocent, but it does get you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other piece that's interesting is, you again, you think lake, you think flat. There were some sections on this course that have some pretty kind of gnarly camber. So like you're running like on the side of just tearing your ankles up. It wears folks out. So there's like just some sneaky hard stuff in there, which is kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah. Now we did get a question in the chat. We should back up and explain what canacross is. I know you don't have a canacross division yet, so this is getting off topic a little bit, but canacross is running with your dog. But when you do it competitively, your dog doesn't run next to you. It runs in front of you and the dog actually pulls you. I talked to a friend who does canacross and she had said, the difference is so big between running with your dog versus canacross with your dog. She's like, if there's a race that allows me to run with my dog, but it doesn't have a separate division, she said, I won't even enter it because it's not fair to the other runners because the dog actually pulls you.
Oh yeah.
And you run so much faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are people who they run with their dog, but to be clear, the dog pulls them and it pulls the runner. And that's the point. So you run much, much faster. So it's usually when you do that, it's usually run as a separate division, or there are canacross races that's the only thing they're doing that day. It's dogs that are pulling people along and you hang on for dear life. So that's what you do. So it's a lot of like huskies. Are some of the breeds that do it. No tiny dogs doing canacross. But back to Trails for Tales. Tell us some of the stories of the day.
I guess the first story that I'll kind of talk about are just like the volunteers that come out. Like there's a gentleman who's really good friends with the founder. His name is John, and he travels up from Florida every year and works at the aid station. And he's kind of the glue. He keeps everything going. He keeps everybody moving. And it's just like so nice to have someone like that, that just is willing to spend their time and spend the entire day there and just helping everybody. And, you know, we have some younger like teenagers that help out as well. And he's just so impressed with them and how well they engage. And he always gives really positive feedback and he just kind of guides them along. You know, the other thing, you know, volunteers, everybody folks probably know the name Scott Newcomer. He always participates and comes out. He runs our timing for us on Ultra Signup. So we do all that through their platform, which saves us, you know, the expense of timing, which helps us be able to make a better donation to the shelter. So without, you know, Scott doing, spending his time doing that, we had a gentleman who wanted to run the race, was injured. And he said, you know what, I still want to participate. His name was Mike Senko, and he came up from Havre de Grace, Maryland, which is about an hour and a half away. And he helped run the aid station, and we have like a cookout at the end, or actually during the race, because the races are ending at multiple times. He cooked basically the entire day. Have a good buddy named Tyler Moyer. He helped out all day. Another buddy named Greg Batuki came out and helped out. So just the volunteers, you know, my wife and my kids, it's like a team effort. You know, they cover the house while I'm out doing trail maintenance and things like that. They're stuffing packets the night before. So just all that to make everything come together in itself is a good story, I think. And then just from a running perspective, like I think the coolest thing this year was the 40 mile relay. We had 10 teams participate, and the top three teams all finished within 11 minutes of one another. So, the first place team was called Tata there. And it was three brothers, the Matherly brothers. And they finished in 6:42. And then there's a local team, Team Hertz. It's a family team. They have seven runners. They come out every year. And they finished in 6:45. So just 3 minutes after them. So that was, it was pretty competitive. And it was really fun to see that. And it's competitive, but it's fun at the same time. It's not like a cutthroat competitive. And it's good stuff. So the 40 mile relay was good. The 40 miler, our first place finisher for the male side, his name's Bobby Beasley. First ultra ever. He ran it in 6:23. And he's been at home working with a newborn. And he said he hasn't been, he's doing a little bit of treadmill work. So for him to come out and run a 6:23 for 40 miles was pretty awesome. So, Kelly Eckley was our first place female finisher in the 40 miler. She ran an 8:35. She's from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So that was another solid time. And then for our 25K, we had Ryan Stokowski. He's a local Hanover runner. He ran a 2:18, which was awesome. And I think the most impressive thing there was after his race, he cooled down, got himself situated, and he literally spent like 5 hours at the aid station helping all the runners. So he just jumped right in and started helping out. So just, again, really appreciate folks doing that type of stuff. And then we had Emily Clark from Pittsburgh finish the 25K in 2:57. So a really solid effort there.
Nice.
And then Grace, I know we had there's some other stories in there. Grace, I know you coached a couple of the folks that were running, and we had Gina Ruck, was her longest distance ever, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And, at one point, Scott Newcomer called her a metronome. She was just like clockwork coming through. She kept her pace the whole way through the race. Was just an absolute, just consistent runner the whole day. She finished. It was so awesome to see. Grace, I don't know if you have anything to add there, since that's one of your coached athletes. But
oh yeah, Gina did awesome. She had a great day. She runs pretty happy. You know, her biggest challenge is to slower roll in the beginning. Like anybody who runs happy, that's always their challenge. Is when you're happy, I think you tend to run a little too fast in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So she had a really good day and really excited that she had her longest distance, and can't wait to see her crush it again.
Yeah. Then there was, and I'm sorry, I don't have this runner's name, but, and you might know her. There was a runner that came across. She had run, it's a seven loops you run. So she ran six loops. She's like, I'm done. So I was like, all right, I gave her a finisher award. She went over to the aid station, hung out, and she had a bunch of folks gather around her. And within 10 minutes, she was contemplating like, all right, maybe I'll go back out. She had her shoes off and everything. Do you know who that was, Grace? You know,
the one who I went out with?
No, the one, there was another one. She was like basically done, took her shoes off and,
was it Heidi who went out with her husband?
Yes. Yes.
That was Heidi Sebula. Yeah.
So that was amazing. I went over, I'm like, I'm taking your award back. You come and get it the next loop. And she went out, she had like 3 hours to finish and she got it done. So that was cool to see.
Yeah.
And then Clara Ames, right? She was the other one, mm-hmm. longest distance she's ever done. She got her 40 done. I think she actually might have rounded some. She might have got 41 plus or something. She went out and did a little bit more after she finished. So it was really cool. It's a really welcoming race. It is great for folks that are getting into the ultra scene. Mm-hmm. I think we, you know, I'm a little biased here, but I think we bring a lot of ultra, like higher level ultra qualities to this race. Folks are coming to the aid station, we're filling bottles. Sometimes you don't get that in events, like, but you know, we're doing those types of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have the full spread of food. We just try to make it like it is like a 100-miler aid station, and we're taking care of you and making sure you finish. That's really the goal. So that's kind of high level stuff there, I guess.
Yeah. And you have some experience with amazing aid stations, because this might be the segue. I mean, everybody look for Trails for Tales next year, but, Western States is one of the best. I mean, that's kind of the gold standard when it comes to going in and out of aid stations, right?
Incredible. Incredible. Like, you basically walk in and, you know, you have three people on you doing whatever you need, like filling your bottles, putting ice in your pack, anything you need. Like, you just tell them what's going on and they have somebody there to take care of you. It's really, really cool. And then if you start sitting down, they're watching you and they're kicking you out. Like, you got to get going. It is. Yeah. The volunteers out there, they know what they're doing. They're very experienced, and it's a well-oiled machine for sure.
Man, we have work to do here in Pennsylvania, but that's okay. So you've run both Eastern and Western states. You've had the opportunity to do both. So tell us about the differences between the two, and what was that experience like between the two? How many times have you done Eastern? Twice?
Twice.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So you did Eastern twice, you did Western once. Tell us a little bit about the difference between the two.
Well, with Eastern, it's nice because you know folks, right? Like, so you go through an aid station and you see Erica Grace or Mandy Pierce or Gary Bowman or somebody like that, and you're destroyed, but they can connect with you, they know who you are, they can get you out the door. There's something to be said about having those relationships where, you know, mm-hmm. you might know some folks on the other side of the country, but it's, you know, the chances of that aren't as high. And again, their volunteers are second to none, but I think that personal connection with local folks is super helpful. So that's one difference, I would say.
Yeah, it is. I did a race out in Montana. Becky and I both did it last summer. And it was the first one that was maybe the first one, but it was different not knowing anybody. And it, mm-hmm. I guess the reason, like what I noticed was you could tell they were all friends, like we're all friends back here. Mm-hmm. But for once, we were the outsiders. And there, it was totally well run and they gave us all the love, but it was still just different vibe.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's interesting. Would now do you have, so you've done kind of a lot of the big East Coast 100 milers. Do you have other ones on your list?
Well, the only thing I have going on this year is coming up. I'm going to run the Rim to River down in West Virginia.
That's another good one. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm kind of starting to look at next year a little bit. I just kind of want to get through this one first and not look ahead mm-hmm. too far, stay in my training block where I'm at. But definitely, like, you know, I kind of think like some like Old Dominion, I think would be cool. We mentioned Massanutten before we jumped on here. Yeah. You know, Vermont would be neat. So I kind of just, you know, see where it goes, and, you know, not put a whole lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, I think it'll call my name when I'm ready, when it's ready, you know. I kind of try to play it like that.
Yeah. Now, did you, how many tickets did you have when you got into Western?
4.
Ooh, wow.
I got really lucky. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So I think I had World's End, two from World's End, one from Eastern. And I think my ticket at Laurel Highlands was the ticket I got in. Wow. I think. Yeah.
That's
so very wild. Fortunate. Very fortunate.
Wow. Sure. And I remember seeing video that day. You were running with Courtney DeWalter for a hot second.
That was not me. You might be confusing me with Andrew Simpson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Andrew
Pandera, was... right?
No, I was thinking of Western, and it was somebody I know, and they were like, oh, there's Courtney. I better back off.
Yeah, she didn't run it the year I was there.
Okay.
I know Andrew Simpson was there the year I was there, and he came over the escarpment with Camille. They kind of run on the backside.
Maybe that was it. It might have been him running with Camille for a hot second, and he was like, I should not be up here.
Yeah,
and then he immediately slowed down.
Yeah.
Like that's your sign. You went out too fast.
One of the cool experiences that I had at Western was when I went to get my bib. Like, you kind of go through, like, they have, it's all set up in the village, and you go through like a check-in where they give you your bib, you get your picture, and then they have all these stations set up where you get all your race swag. So I went in with the two guys that were right in line with me, and I was able to chat with them, were Tim Tolson and Ludovic. I can't say his last name. The guy that just won Hard Rock. So that was pretty neat, like, just to kind of, you know, you're with all these elites, which is kind of like mind-blowing. So that was kind of a cool experience. And they're super friendly. They all chat and stuff. So,
yeah, that's wild. There's so many. It's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of elites on the West Coast, and we just don't see them over here as often.
I know.
And we have our
on the East Coast and see how they do on like an Eastern States course. And
Yeah. I don't know. We saw AJW at World's End, and he had a rough day. So
yeah,
but you see, the plenty of them do just fine, you know.
Sure.
Carl has been on the AT how many times, and you know, so they have fun on our rocks.
Before we start ending the show, that the Trails for Tales, 18 years you said it's been going on.
This is the 17th, so next year will be 18. Yep.
That's impressive in itself. I mean,
Last
that long.
Yep.
Grace, you just mentioned AT. We got to talk about Tara Dower.
That's right. I knew there was one more thing that happened this weekend. Yeah. Oh, were you watching this, Neil?
I was not.
The AT record was just set by a female, the fastest time on the AT. She went southbound.
And
she just finished. I think she finished. Was it yesterday or today? I don't even know. But she now has the fastest time, beating Carl. How you say his last name? Saab.
Yeah, Carl Saab.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible performance. 50 to 55 miles a day for 40 days.
Mm-hmm. 40 days and change. Just a phenomenal. It was over 50 miles a day. It was just a crazy fast performance. There are arguments for northbound being more difficult because you have the whites at the end. But if you're running a lot of it, I mean, you think about the downhills that you have to do if you're going southbound. I mean, you're just blowing up your quads. Completely. So I don't know. It was an impressive performance. So she smashed everybody's records, just all of them.
Yeah, it's not even worth arguing over the south or north at that point.
No, She smashed northbound, southbound, male, female, everybody in between. So it was a really cool one. I hope to hear her on some podcasts. I hope a book comes out of it.
We have her booked.
We do not have her booked. We do have another FKT holder booked for next weekend, though. We're going to have Jess Eager come on. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. What else? Is that it?
That's it. Neil, what's going on this weekend? What are you doing?
I'm going to relax. Nice. Race directing is hard.
It is.
I think it's harder to run in 100. I mean, it's a lot of time and effort, and it's hard work. So I'm going to take a down weekend and just relax.
Uh-huh. I tell you what, that's exactly what I've been doing ever since Slopeside. I really needed to back off because it was camp and Slopeside and my own races. And I'm like, I need a break.
Yeah.
I've been on a break ever since then. So good on you.
Yeah.
Get some sleep. Although your organizational skills are getting much better, I will say, for race directing. your truck looked more organized this time.
Yeah, I got the bins. The bins helped out with keeping stuff straightened down. Yeah.
So. You gotta have a lot of bins.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
Got a cross country race on Saturday morning up in Rochester, a couple hours away.
Super fun.
Yeah, I think that's it for the weekend as far as what I have planned.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm going to go up to Dirt Circus.
Is that this weekend?
It is this weekend. I was originally going to do some timing, and then plans changed, and my Missy, who I time for, she's like, hey, if you want to still time, that's cool, but if you want to get out of it, my other person is available now. And I was like, okay, cool, so I'll go hang out at Dirt Circus and set up a little table, and I'm gonna have some running mullet socks there and magnets and stickers. And if anybody stops by to come see me and you want to Venmo me in exchange for socks, you can do that. Yay.
Yeah. Take her socks, people. Just take her socks.
They are so cozy. I've been running in them. I actually really like them.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
They're great.
We'll look forward to hearing how the Dirt Circus goes.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's around State College area, and Ultra Sign Up is hosting it. And I don't know, they're trying something new, something different, and that's cool. I'm all for new, different things. And they're doing some group runs, and then there's a bunch of race directors all set up. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to challenge Ben Mazur to arm wrestle. I think I probably should.
Interesting. We could get a video clip of that for the show. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I should arm wrestle Ben Mazur, and we'll see who the better race director really is after that.
You and your competitions, my goodness.
You know, if I didn't challenge everyone, then it would just be boring.
Okay, fair enough. Neil, thanks for being on. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Neil.
All right, Grace, take us out, Grace.
Okay, thanks everybody for joining. Join us next week, 7:30 Eastern, live. And we're going to have Jess Eager. She's going to talk about her fastest known time on the Mason-Dixon Trail, 200 miles. And find us on the Facebooks and the Instagrams. Oh, and I also did a recent episode of the Mullet Chronicles with Adam Kolb, his race report of his Eastern States Day, which is a really cool race report. So definitely check out that episode. Those are not live. Those are all pre-recorded. So go to our sites and stuff and like and comment and feed the algorithm monster with us. Give it all the snacks. And thanks, everybody. And you're awesome. Okay, bye.
See everybody next week. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.